Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Khususan ala sayyidir rusuli wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. People in life are given multiple opportunities. That's the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These opportunities present themselves in many ways. At times it could be in a moment where you're just listening to someone say something and it strikes you. Or it could be something that you see. It could be an interaction. It could be one special sajda or a moment of dua that you have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you the opportunity to teach someone something they didn't know, or even invite them to Islam. With every opportunity, we have to choose whether we accept that opportunity and continue to act upon that, or walk away from it. When you walk away from it, the only person to truly blame is yourself. We don't get to say that, "Ya Allah, you didn't give me opportunity." It's easy for the human being to take blame away from the self and drop it on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it's your fault. When the reality is that we are all given so many opportunities in our life. The amazing thing about the Sahaba radhiyallahu alayhim ajma'in and the righteous who came before is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them opportunity, they acted upon it. They didn't stay behind. And not only did they take that opportunity, but they went as far as they could with it. They kept going and kept going and kept going, like we see in the example of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. He was given the opportunity to be a Muslim, he took it right away. Then he continued to serve Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without even taking one step back. He just kept going forward and kept going forward. And today we're going to look at an example, a story the Quran tells us, of a man who was given an opportunity to move forward. He took one step back, but unfortunately he took too many backwards. This story is told to us in Surah Furqan, in verse number 27 and 28 and 29. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, while commentating on these verses, he draws out the greater picture of what happened. There was a man who lived in Makkah Mukarramah by the name of Uqbah bin Abi Mu'it. He was viewed as one of the leaders of Makkah Mukarramah. What was different from him, what was different about him from the other leaders, was that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke, He didn't only sit there to listen in mockery, he actually paid attention. He would listen attentively to what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even though the people around him joked and mocked. His closest friend was Umayyah bin Khalaf, and in one narration, Ubay bin Khalaf, Abu Jahl, and the rest of the crew, who were known for being bullies to Muslims and bullies to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This Uqba bin Abi Mu'it had a practice, and his habit was that whenever he went on a trip, and if that trip was profitable, when he returned back to Makkah Mukarramah, in order to share his joy, he would gather the people together. And he would invite them to a magnificent feast. It was his moment of pride. On one such journey, after he returned, when he invited the people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also there, and he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come and join us for food. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been observing Uqba bin Abi Mu'id for some time now. And the Prophet knew that he was this close to Islam. The only thing that was stopping him maybe was some arrogance. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, observing the opportunity, being aware of the reality, keenly watching how this man was listening to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to say, in that moment Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a power move. And he said to Uqba, I won't eat your food until you read the Shahada. You become Muslim, I'll eat with you. Uqba bin Abi Mu'it was caught off guard. And this is a move that I wouldn't recommend most people to do, because that person can feel they're being cornered up. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took this step very calculated, because it worked out as he had anticipated. Uqba bin Abi Mu'it actually took the Shahada. He became a Sahabi. He accepted Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, they joined in the meal. Next morning, his buddy Umayyah bin Khalaf said to him that, I heard last night you became Muslim. Is that true? So Uqba bin Abi Mu'id said, yes, that's true. I did become Muslim. So Umayyah bin Khalaf said to him, well, you're going to have to choose. Either you choose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his people, or you stick with us. Try to capture what this person has to do in this moment in his life. He's been given the honor of believing in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For this moment right now, he would be technically, you know, called a Sahabi. And on the other hand, his friends are saying that you have to choose between him and us. And I want you to ask yourself, what decision would you have made? And before you jump the gun quickly and say that I would have obviously chosen to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah, that's what we would all choose. And we pray to Allah that if we ever face such a dilemma, iman stays firm in our heart. But how many of us know that when presented with a similar dilemma, we've made the wrong choice? That where we had the chance to be proud and be a Muslim, or cower out and walk away from Islam, how many of us in our lives have chosen that second option? Uqba bin Abi Mu'it unfortunately crumbled under the pressure. And he said, I'm with you, I'm ready to leave Muhammad. What do I have to do? They said, well, you accepted Islam publicly, it's the talk of Mecca. So in order to fix this, what you need to do is publicly go and slander the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, you will spit on his face. And thirdly, you will trample his neck. Uqba bin Abi Mu'id said, done, done, and done. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking in Makkah Mukarramah. Uqba approached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he spat on the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a big mistake. What a mistake. You can imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looking at him in disappointment. What did you just do? You just spat on the face of a prophet? Someone who you knew was a prophet, last night you took shahada, you know this is not a joke, and then you do this? And then he hurt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. According to the tafsir of Dhahhak, he says that when Uqba spat on the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused that spit to fall back on his own face. And it caused his face to burn, in particular left burn marks on his cheek, that Dhahak says remained until the day he died. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to him, that you will die as a kafir now. The doors of Islam have closed on you. And he was then later on killed after the Battle of Badr by Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. As for his buddy Umayyah ibn Khalaf, in the Battle of Uhud, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him and said to the companions, leave him, I will be the one that will kill him. And he was the only man who was killed by the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the harba, he took the weapon, and he threw it right at him. Umayyah ibn Khalaf was injured, and later on he died from that wound. This incident is captured in these verses of Surah Al-Furqan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَيَوْمَ يَعَظُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. On that day, on the day of judgment, the oppressor will be biting his hands. Either this could be a form of punishment, literally he'll be biting his hands and eating his arm, or according to a large group of mufassirun, they say, biting the hands is done in a moment of regret, remorse, when someone is very nervous. وَيَوْمَ يَعَظُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ. On that day, the oppressor will be biting his hands. We'll go with the second tafsir, out of regret and remorse. يَقُولُ, he will say, يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. Only if I had kept my path with the messenger. يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. Only if I had not made so-and-so my friend. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. Because he led me away from guidance after I had received it. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا. And shaitan will always desert, abandon the human being. He is a deserter. He has no loyalty at all. He will make you do evil things in the world, and on the day of judgment, if you try to hold him accountable, he will run away. You will have to face the outcome of your own actions. These verses of Surah Al-Furqan are a reminder for us all that when we are given opportunity, make the most of it. Not like this man who was almost a sahabi, but then because of a wrong decision, because he aligned his loyalties in the wrong place, not only did he face a disastrous outcome in the world, only Allah knows what remains in the hereafter. I leave you today with a dua. Ibn Sunni narrates it marfu'an, attributing it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, many have argued on it authentically being attributed to the Prophet of Allah. Probably more appropriate is the dua being attributed to Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And the dua is a beautiful one nonetheless, and we should make this dua regularly. The dua is, Allahumma ja'al khayra umri akhirahu. O Allah, make the best part of my life the last part of my life. Wa khayra amali khawatimahu. And make the best deeds that I do the deeds that I do towards the end, the last of deeds. Wa khayra ayyami yawma alqaka fihi ya rabbal alameen. And make the best day of my life be the day that I stand in front of you, Ya Allah. I am happy with you. You are happy with me. That's what I ask for in this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this dua from all of us. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.